Now, Arlene Foster says she'll leave politics after the DUP heave that forced her resignation yesterday. The question is who will succeed her and what that means for the DUP and the future of the Stormont executive. More on that from our Northern editor, Vincent Kearney, in a moment. First, here's a reminder of the problems that have beset the First Minister over the past few months.
Arlene's on fire!
To address the House. Mrs. Arlene Foster, the First Minister.
Mr. Speaker, it is with great humility and an enormous sense of responsibility and indeed the imagination of endless potential for Northern Ireland that I affirm the pledge of office and take up this post today.
Northern Ireland must leave the European Union on the same terms as the rest of the United Kingdom, and we will not accept any form of regulatory divergence which separates Northern Ireland economically or politically from the rest of the UK. There won't be a freestanding Irish Language Act. We've always made that very clear.
This is an incredibly hostile and aggressive act by the European Union bloc. They are trying to stop the supply of vaccine, a vaccine designed to save lives, into the United Kingdom. For years, we were told after the European Union referendum vote that there couldn't be a hard border on the island of Ireland. And in one fell swoop, they have put that hard border in place.
So there's a need to focus on it, and there's a need to find a way forward in a calm way. But for me, the best way to deal with it is to scrap the protocol and to look at what the risk is to the European single market, because for me, it's negligible.
I am calling on the Chief Constable to consider his position. I think there's a real crisis in policing tonight, in justice and in the rule of law. I have sought to lead the party and Northern Ireland away from division and towards a better path. There are people in Northern Ireland with a British identity. Others are Irish, others are Northern Irish, others are a mixture of all three, and some are new and emerging. We must all learn to be generous to each other, to live together and to share this wonderful country. The future of unionism and Northern Ireland will not be found in division. It will only be found in sharing this place we are all privileged to call home.
Arlene Foster, as she announced her resignation as DUP leader and as First Minister. Our Northern editor, Vincent Kearney, joins us. And it was a very human resignation speech, but equally, as we heard in the comments before that from Arlene Foster, in her own words, it was her own political miscalculations in the end, wasn't it, Vincent, in backing Boris Johnson, backing Brexit, that cost Arlene Foster her job. Is that a fair assessment?
It is indeed, Anya. There are many factors in this, some recent factors, a vote last week on gay conversion therapy, the imposition of abortion laws by the British government, things that annoyed grassroots unionists and certainly annoyed the elected members of the DUP. But it was that stance on the Brexit and the protocol that has really cost her. She backed Boris Johnson. She initially said that the protocol could give Northern Ireland the best of both worlds, with a foot in the internal UK market and a foot in the European single market. She was quickly forced into an about turn in that. So many grassroots unionists and certainly loyalists blamed her for backing Boris Johnson, blamed her and Nigel Dawes and others within the party. They said they got the Brexit calculations wrong. And in recent weeks, there was graffiti on walls of some loyalist areas saying, no surrender, Ulster is British, the Irish Sea border must go. But on a number of occasions, there was also graffiti appearing saying, Arlene Foster must go. So she was closely associated with the protocol. And many unionists and loyalists on the street have identified the protocol as their main target now. They want rid of the protocol because in their eyes it has weakened the relationship east-west. It threatens Northern Ireland's constitutional position within the United Kingdom. As the leader of unionism, Arlene Foster's job was to ensure that Northern Ireland remains strong within the UK, so opponents within the party, within loyalist grassroots, would say that actually what she did was weaken it. So that was the big fault line.
The two names being mentioned as front runners to replace her, Edwin Poots and Geoffrey Donaldson. Talk to us about the character and history of each of those men briefly, Vincent, if you wouldn't mind, and whether there are other names who may come forward.
There are indeed other needs, because only it depends on what kind of model the DUP goes for. Does it go for what it's always had before, which is a party leader would also be First Minister, or does it split those roles? And it might split those roles in search of different kinds of votes. Edwin Poots, very religiously conservative. This is a man who believes in creationism, does not believe in the theory of evolution. A man who, as Health Minister, tried to uphold a ban on gay people giving blood. So in religious terms, viewed as quite fundamentalist, evangelical and very hardline. Also, people who know him would say he's pragmatic and political and is willing to do a deal if it makes sense. Geoffrey Donaldson, very different, viewed as more modern, less socially conservative, more palatable certainly to people in the Republic of Ireland. He's a very accomplished media performer, and they put him out on all the big issues. If there's anything sensitive, they put Geoffrey Donaldson out because he's viewed as a more sort of moderate voice of the DUP. But if they decide to go for a hybrid model, it could be Edwin Poots as First Minister. If they then go for someone else as leader of the party, it could be Geoffrey Donaldson. It could also be Gavin Robinson, just 36 years of age, 14 years younger than Arlene Foster. He's also viewed as someone who's forward-looking, because there's a realisation only within the party that with a border poll coming at some point in the future, they know it's looming on the horizon. They need to reach out beyond their base. They need to reach out to that Catholic unionist tradition that exists in Ireland. They need to reach out to that soft nationalist vote, because if this becomes a straight sectarian headcount in the future within Northern Ireland and certainly on the island of Ireland, if this becomes a sectarian headcount, the DUP and unionists know they will lose that headcount. So they want someone who can reach out. They believe Geoffrey Donaldson can do that. They believe possibly Gavin Robinson can do that. And I remember a speech he made, Gavin Robinson, more than 10 years ago now in Belfast City Hall. He was talking about the Orange Order and the 12th of July celebrations, and he went off on a tangent and he said many Catholics view the Orange Order in a particular way, and he said, and they view the lambeg drum as a symbol of the Orange Order and of the Protestant faith. It's that huge big drum you see men beating with big wooden sticks. It was used to terrify their enemies going into battle. You could hear it from miles around. And he said, what most people outside the Orange Order don't realise is that drum was the instrument of the Dutch Royal Guard. And he said the Dutch Royal Guard was a Catholic regiment that fought for King William of Orange. So he said, what most people don't realise is the iconic symbol of the Orange Order was in fact a Catholic musical instrument. So he was saying that, in his view, that shows how the cultures can mix together. So that was more than 10 years ago, and Gavin Robinson was trying to reach out in his own way to that Catholic unionist tradition. They know this is the big debate that's coming down the line. The view certainly internally is that Edwin Poots will be very hard line in his relations with Sinn Féin and his relations with the Irish government. So he will play to the hard line within Northern Ireland, but they know that they need someone else to reach out beyond the unionist community and across the border.
Northern editor Vincent Kearney, thank you. 20